You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Like your shirt.
Thank you. Where in the world are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles. It's a little warm. I have the air conditioning on, but yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Amazing. How's your day going so far?
It's good. You know, good day. I'm not as productive as I would like to be. I have to finish a mix, and I have to finish a song, and I have about 20 BS things to do, life things, you know, just yep. It's like, oh, I got to put a pedal board together for the tour. Oh, I got to take my guitars to ESP and get set up. I got to order strings. I've been in non-tour mode, so I'm just kind of home.
Yeah, you're revving back up.
Yeah, just digging being home, you know. I'm glad we're going to Australia and New Zealand rather than doing another U.S. tour. I'm happy about that. So I don't need to go back to Cleveland or Omaha for a while.
Yeah, because you must have just toured the absolute shit out of the U.S.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I think we've played in like 40 or 50 countries in the, you know, over the years. We have a couple of days off in Bondi, which is it's kind of the place I first fell in love with when we went down there to do Big Day Out back in the 90s. And just swimming in the ocean and then walking across the street to get a veggie burger or whatever. It's pretty
walking
awesome.
Barefoot. Yeah. That's very Australia and New Zealand. No shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I love Auckland and Wellington a lot, so.
Yeah, great. Well, we're so excited to have you here. What have you been up to since your last New Zealand tour?
Woof, boy, that was 3 years ago. Let's see, what year was that? That was 2023. Did we put an album out that year? I think we might have.
You did. That was Left.
Oh, Left came out. Yeah. Man, it's hard to remember everything. I'm working on a solo album for way too long. I should have delivered it by now. But I'm having a bunch of different friends guest on. I did a song with Pancho Tomaselli, Andre Benavides, and David Colomé. These guys from Ecuador who live up in the mountains in Northern California on a pot farm. It's called Officer Lucifer. We did a song. It's called Far From Right. And it was apparently I don't do social media, so I don't know what people think, and I don't give a shit because, you know, I do what I want to do at this point in life.
Totally.
And Poncho's like, man, you really pissed some people off in that song. I'm like, okay, good.
So in that same kind of vein, let's talk about Left. So that was your most recent album, definitely your most politically charged album as Helmet. Songs like Gun Fluff and Holiday, like really reflecting that political climate that you wrote it in. What was the inspiration for writing that album?
Well, I've been heading in that direction for quite a while. You know, early on, I wanted to be the anti-songwriter. It was this thing in New York, like, it was like, oh, singer-songwriter. And I was like, fuck you, man. I love Bob Dylan, but I'm not playing CG&D. I want to create a different vocabulary musically and lyrically. So, you know, a lot of the stuff was a collection of images, stream of conscious, tongue-in-cheek, sarcasm. As I went on, and working with Dave Sardi was great on Aftertaste, and then I had a conversation with my friend Danny Korchmar, who's a great guitar player. He played with James Taylor in Flying Machine early on. Joni Mitchell, produced Billy Joel, River of Dreams. He's a legend. Yeah. I used to read his name on the backs of albums when I was a kid. And then when he contacted my publisher and said, I want to meet this kid, Paige, you know, we became friends. And he said, you know, because I said, I'm done with this shit. When Helmet broke up, I'm like, I don't want to play guitar anymore. I got a keyboard and a Kurzweil. I'm just going to make, you know, noise. And he's like, Paige, like, shut up. He's like, Jimi Hendrix wanted to be heard and understood. He said, you created this thing, this guitar thing. You're going to play guitar and you're going to keep doing it. You keep developing it. And so it kind of got me thinking about, you know, like narrative a little more. So I think that's kind of where it started. But then the politics in this country since, you know, David Bowie died, 2016 was the beginning of the end. You know that theory that when David Bowie died, the world went to shit?
Yes, and I'm a big David Bowie fan, so I really resonate with that.
Yeah. So 2016, Trump was elected, and David Bowie died, and Trump
was
elected.
That's right. It was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, exactly. It's just been really frustrating. I've always been extremely far left, and all that means is I'm a human being. Mm. You know, I'm a citizen of the world. And I studied in Germany as a young man, studied classical guitar in German over there, and it's on a university exchange program. It was Czechoslovakia. Now it's, you know, Czechia, you know, Czech Republic and Slovakia. These are man-made borders. We don't own the land. We don't, you know, all this jingoism and USA and, you know, the border between Mexico and America. I just I never subscribe to it. I never have. I never will. Yeah. You know, when that piece of shit is dead in 100 years from now, when my nieces and nephews have grandchildren or whatever, you know, there might not be a United States the way it's going. I mean, he's just incredibly destructive. So it's hard at my age to have traveled the world for so long. Since 1982, I've been traveling around the world as a young man in Europe, you know, on the trains and stuff, and hitchhiking to jazz festivals out in fucking Styx and stuff like that. And then as a member of a band for 30, however many years I've had this band. And then, you know, I obviously toured with Bowie. And I just feel like it's really simple. You know, we're human beings, period. I don't care who you worship. Your sexuality is none of my business. Like, I shared a bedroom my childhood and teenage years with my brother, who's gay. When he came out, it was really difficult for him. I was apparently famously on MTV bashing gay bashers. A guy came up to me after September 11th when we were all kind of in shock in New York, and I was sitting at the bar, and he, Bruce McDonald, I'll never forget, a really great young man. And he said, "You're Paige Hamilton." He said, I love your music. And he said, "I'm gay and I love heavy music." And as there was such a stigma, you couldn't say you were gay in the hardcore, hard rock, you know, scene, whatever. And you got on MTV and said something. And said, if you can't accept someone, I was like, I did. Oh, that sounds like me, whatever. So I was like, I've always felt like that. And people was like, oh, it's a choice, you know? Somebody chose to be trans.
Oh,
and then
dumb,
this bullshit about Democrats are making them change sex. And I'm like, shut. So anyway, it's hard. I get worked up. It's hard for me not to, you know, when I sit down and I'm writing, I'm not forcing it at all.
And I guess it just kind of like comes out of you. It must be almost hard to not write music.
It's around, it's always, it's just every day. I'm to the point where I can't, if I get on YouTube, I have to watch, you know, like something about the Portland Trailblazers, my basketball team or something.
Yeah,
or
funny cat, you know, videos, anything, yeah, any distraction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you click on one and I mean, we have so many great people. There's a guy, Brian Tyler Cohen. There's Lee McGowan. I bought her book. She's called Politics Girl is her name online. Mm. There's a guy, Texas Paul, who's a left-wing guy from Texas. There's a guy, Tennessee Brando, who's a guy, he's like, he's got the accent like this, but he's like, well, I was out on the river the other day and I saw these guys and they had a flag of Trump's head on Rambo's body. And he said, well, if that ain't just chickens, you know, voting for Colonel Sanders or something like that, you know. Yeah, so there is a great collection of people here. We outnumber them.
Oh,
but
yeah,
they're trying to rig the system.
Yeah,
as you probably have seen, Trump didn't win. Like Elon Musk and the mm-hmm. right wing, they figured out, they had all that time to figure out, and when he lost in 2020,
yeah,
and all that time to figure out how to cheat the system, which he did. And if we don't voice our opinions and step up, then we're going to be fucked.
Totally.
So it's hard for me not to write about this stuff. It really is. And it's, I mean, Bob Dylan objected to being called the voice of his generation, you know, and they're not protest songs. They're just songs. This is true. They're just songs. But he wrote a lot of great songs, you know, I mean, Masters of War, that address situations in this country. And that's our right, you know?
It's important. We really need that.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, it saddens me that people that like or have liked the music of Helmet are pissed off. There's a handful of, you know, I would think the majority. Mm. Before the pandemic, I used to sit on the edge of the stage after every show and talk to people. And after Trump won in 2016, I remember it was really depressing. We were in Philadelphia, had a night off, and I drank almost a whole damn bottle of a single malt scotch. And I watched all the Jason Bourne movies, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm sober now, so I can't do that. It was depressing, but when I would sit on the stage and talk to people, I felt heartened. I was like, okay,
yeah,
we're not crazy. We're not all crazy, you know, or gullible or stupid.
Exactly. I know you've got your people and you can have that solidarity. You're actually a jazz musician at heart and in practice. How does your jazz training and your jazz influences inform the music that you make as Helmet?
What are some of the elements of jazz? Melody, harmony, rhythm, form, you know, the structure of a song, and text, words, right? It's a Mozart aria. It's a Slayer singing, you know, Angel of Death. So jazz music is, there were songs in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. That was pop music. It swings, Helmet swings, AC/DC swings, the Beatles swing. Our harmonic vocabulary is inspired by extended and altered chords. I try to explain this to my students during the pandemic I started teaching. Okay, the Beatles, you know. Something in the way she moves. C going to C major 7, going to C dominant 7. Then he goes to... Okay, is that jazz? No, it's a Beatles song. It has elements of jazz that interest me. I not only love listening to songs and rocking out and playing music, I love tearing it apart and trying to figure out what they're doing. And that's what jazz forced me to do, or not forced me, it inspired me to do, I guess. Mm. It's a great language to study. So Helmut, I was stumbling home one night in the middle of the night and I got a riff in my head and I heard this note, an octave below this. And I go, I can't play that note on a standard tune guitar. There's the note. And I could go. So I was hearing that note. I had to drop the tuning, and all of a sudden, this vocabulary opened up for me. Jazz rhythm thing. Improvisation is a huge part of jazz. And when you're improvising, you're developing a motif. Okay, just like, and I always explain to my students or to anyone that tolerate me for 5 minutes or more. Thank you for listening, by the way.
Of course.
I was in the car the other day explaining something to my better half, and I go, I'm sorry. She goes, I tuned you out like 10 minutes ago. And I was like,
oh my goodness.
I'm like, I know. I get on my own nerves, okay? But I was really excited about something I had been listening to, and I was talking about it, and she's just looking at me like,
well, you got to have that passion. That's the most important thing. I've got friends who would say the same about me.
Everybody's always like, why are you still as enthusiastic as a 14-year-old kid? And I go, because I knew that if I chose music or music chose me, I knew when I was laying in the middle of that field in Eugene, Oregon in 1978 or 79, I didn't want to sit behind a desk. And I said, I want to be a musician. And so I made this plan for myself. I thought, what can I do for the rest of my life that will never run dry, that will always be exciting and fun and interesting? And there was only one answer.
Yeah.
So jazz has all these things, and these elements have crept into Helmut. Rhythm, I would say, you know, the greatest heavy metal riff of all time, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? Dun 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 dum. It's just two notes. Dun 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 dum.
Yeah.
Would it be good if he went dun 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 dum, dun 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 dum, dun 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 dum? Not as good as dun 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 dum, dun 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 dum, but dun 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 dun. You know, he's developing a conversation.
Yeah.
He's developing this motif, this riff. We have 3 minutes in a rock song to basically kind of go, what am I going to do? I'm going to build tension, and it's, you know, this rhythmic displacement thing, like Unsung, or a song like Sinatra. The song is, and it goes, it's quiet, then it gets louder and louder and louder and louder, and then we add this drone, this unison drone, and then it busts into these harmonic changes. So all those things are things that I hear, and I think because I love jazz so much and I listen to it and I practice it and I play it, I'm hearing differently than somebody that just grew up on the Ramones. And I love the Ramones.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I love them. And if you look at bands like Beach Boys and the Beatles, they're using some pretty interesting chord changes. You know, a lot of the sort of heavy music now, for me, for us being old farts, is gotten a little sterile, a little safe.
Yeah.
And just because you're using an animal voice doesn't make it dangerous. The drum kit was invented by jazz cats. It'd be one guy going, boom, boom, and one guy going, chock, chock. And then somebody's like, what if we put them together? And one guy going, shh, shh. What if we put those things together? And we went, boo, ka, kaboo, boo, ka, boo, ka. Go listen to Wes Montgomery.
Mm.
Go listen to Art Blakey, you know. Talk about swing, like talk about a groove.
Speaking of artists that you have either seen or toured with, I know that you mentioned you toured with David Bowie. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a crazy touring experience that comes to mind? Something that you could tell us about?
There's a lot of stories and things that I am proud of and excited about. And there's also things I'm not proud of and excited about. Most of the things I'm not proud and excited about have to do with drugs and alcohol. And as I said, I'm sober.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, which is just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole different life. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, actually, Bowie teased me. I never drank on the job with him. But after every show, you know, I stumbled into the hotel in Copenhagen, in Dublin. I didn't even use my hotel room. I came in that morning when we had bus call to get taken to the airport, and he called me Hangover Hamilton. He's like, "Oh God, Hangover Hamilton's at it again." I can't do his beautiful accent. But I mean, we had a blast the first time we went down. We didn't get to go to New Zealand the first time. We went to Australia, did the big day out. We hung out with Steve Turner, Mark Arm, Danny, and Matt Lucan from Mudhoney. We were at Bondi drinking Coopers and getting sunburned. And they had a party for us on the boat that was incredibly fun. And it was just debaucherous. This is a crazy story in Tokyo. We went out and it was our bass player's birthday and we crossed the date line. So his birthday lasted a couple days. So we were drinking. We were in a Japanese restaurant and they have that holiday where they wear the masks and they do the dance, the thing. And then, so they start throwing soybeans and we're just sake and beer. We're just three sheets to the wind. So we're like, food fight. So we start throwing bowls of seaweed, sushi, and this whole, we're thinking, and we're told Japanese are very reserved, whatever. That whole restaurant erupted into a food fight. And it was the most fun. We laughed so hard. It was idiocy, but it was really fun. So, you know, the fact that I have about a million of those stories is a good reason to be sober. So,
yeah, and a good reason to start writing a book. I would love for you to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, there's many stories like that. So,
amazing. We've just got a few minutes left. What are we expecting from you back in New Zealand? What can our audience expect from this tour?
I don't know. We're going to rehearse before we fly. We have a couple of days of rehearsal. I'm really looking forward to playing. You know, I play obviously every day, but not at 103 decibels. Yeah, I'm probably going to explode in Auckland. I think Auckland's the first show, or is Wellington? I'm not sure.
I think, I'm actually not sure either, but you have to, I hope you get a little bit of a holiday when you're here as well.
Oh God, I love
get
it.
Get out, see some mountains.
I know, it's so beautiful. It's so refreshing. We're really excited. I don't know. I don't know how hard it is to get citizenship, but.
We can work on that, Paige. Leave it with us. Thank you so much for your time today, Paige.
Absolutely.
We're so excited to see you in New Zealand. We'll see you at the show.
Great. Yes, please, please do. Come and find us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.